Good morning, church. It is always good to be with you and to know the Holy Spirit is here and alive and well and bringing about revival within our hearts so that this community might experience revival, that this world might be transformed and made new in the image of Jesus Christ. I had such a great point I was going to share with the boys and girls that you know, sometimes you get a crying kid on your lap and your whole mind goes out the window, but remember that your rights don't come from the government. Your rights come from God, and the government cannot take them away. They can try, but they're not from the government. They're from God, and that is where our hope and our trust and our faith is. The government, they can do great things, but they don't give us rights. Those come from the Lord Most High. Well, we are starting a summer series of sermons on questions. Questions that you might have, questions that your pastor might have, questions about the way that we live out our faith. And this week's is, why do I have to go to church? And I know what you're thinking. Many of you may have heard sermons similar with asking similar questions. Why do we have to go to church? And maybe you got a guilt trip laid on you. No, you need to go to church because you made a vow to be in church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, your witness. You made a vow, and so by golly, you better stick to that vow. Maybe you heard the kind of sermon that makes you feel really guilty when you miss a Sunday. Well, good news. I'm going to give you one of those. No. Good news is that it's God who's inviting us to come to be a part of what takes place here. And come with me into Scripture, the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. The Corinthian people had a problem in their church. When they would gather for communion, the meal which we are going to take part in just a few moments, they did not do it as we do. You see, if you were rich, if you had money, you brought your own bread, you brought your own wine, and you just had communion all by yourself. And if you were poor, you might get some crumbs. They might give you something, but there was a possibility that you would go home hungry, physically hungry and spiritually hungry, because communion was denied to you. And so Paul knows about this, and Paul has something to say about it to the Corinthian people. Come with me and listen for God speaking to you through these words today. Paul says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are some divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show of you." Let me start that again. "No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to drink in?" I love that one. "Don't you have homes to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For what I received from the Lord, what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. God, by your Holy Spirit, allow these words to penetrate our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and you alone what you have to say to this people that you have gathered in your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we have this situation taking place in the church that there is division among the people between a class of rich and the class of poor. And we know that there are oftentimes divisions within our own church, don't we? That there are divisions where we think that maybe one group is better than another group, or this group has all the power and that group feels left out. Well, friends, that is not the kind of church that Jesus Christ is calling us to be a part of. He's calling us to a place of freedom, true freedom, in Christ Jesus when we gather. Paul put it this way in another portion of Scripture. There is no longer male or female or slave or free or Jew or Greek, but all are one in Christ Jesus. And there is one bread and there is one cup from which we drink. And yes, I know we may have little cups sometimes, or we may have individual breads. I even have gluten-free option up here for some bread if anybody needs that. But it's one bread because there's one body, who is Jesus Christ. And there's one cup, and it is the cup of salvation that is given for each one of us. None of us gets a bigger portion than the other. None of us gets a smaller portion than the other. It's all given to us freely in Christ Jesus. And so though there may be times when you feel, boy, I feel left out. I feel left out because I feel like the church isn't listening to me. I feel like the people who may be in charge just don't hear me. Know that your voice is valued, first of all, valued by God, but also valued by me as your pastor, and valued by the people in this church. None of you are here by accident. The Holy Spirit calls us each one to be a part of the work that God is doing. Now, you may think, I feel like I'm outcast. Not only a church, I feel outcast in God's kingdom. I feel like I'm on the fringes. I feel like I'm on the edges. That I don't have something important to do. That I'm not being listened to. Well, fringes can be beautiful. Have a look at this beautiful garment that's on this table. And look down here. See the fringes of this garment? I don't think that this table would be as beautiful if it were not for this beautiful edge that's on the outside that would look out of place any place else. It's there for a reason. It's beautiful, and it has a purpose to serve. If you are thinking, what's my purpose here at this church? I feel like I'm on the fringes. I feel like I'm on the outside. Know that God sees you and I see you as someone who is absolutely beautiful, whose place is to be part of God's church, and God will equip you for the work that God has for you to do. Whether that is to just be beautiful on a Sunday morning, whether that is just to do what God's calling you to do and no one ever notices or ever gives you credit for it, it's beautiful work. And maybe you're thinking, well, I have a good place, and certainly pastors can feel that way. Look at me. People are listening to me, and they want to hear what I have to say. Well, maybe you feel like you're part of the top here. And again, the garment looks beautiful, but what's it really there for? What's it there for? It's there in case I spill the juice that it won't get on the table. That's it. It's there to be beautiful, but it's there for to serve a purpose as well. No matter how big the stature you feel you may have or how small the stature you may have, we're all here according to God's purposes. Every single one of us is useful for the kingdom. Every single one of us has important work to do for the kingdom of God. And the communion that we share reminds us that we are one body. Paul says it another way. You may say, the hand may say to the eye, I can't see, so therefore I'm not important. Well, the eye may say to the foot, you're not important because you get stepped on all the time. But Paul says all of the parts of the body work together to be the body. And that's what we're called to be as God's church here in Trinity, is to be the body. And then we're part of a larger body called the United Methodist Church. And guess what? This church has a role to play within that conference, within that United Methodist Church. It's not our job to be everything for everybody. Sometimes we want to do that. Sometimes we want to be all things to all people. And then we find out that we can't do it all. Sometimes your pastor thinks that he can be all things to all people. And then what happens? I get burnt out. I get frustrated. I get mad because I can't do those things, because it's not the role that God's called me to. God's called me to a role, and God's called all of you to a role. Thanks be to God for those gifts that God gives. Why are we here? Why can't I just stay at home and listen to Joel Osteen on a Sunday morning and get everything I need? Why can't I listen to Joyce Myers or any of the other people on television and just stay home so I don't have to deal with those people at church? They frustrate me. They annoy me. they get mad at me sometimes. We have those conversations, and Kristen says, you have to go. You're the pastor. We're called to be here. Good news, friends. You did not invite yourself to church. The Holy Spirit invites us all, each one, to be here, to be a part of what God's doing here in this place. Long time ago, for some of you, not so long ago, you hear words at your baptism, which initiates you into the kingdom. Next week, we're going to have a baptism here. Be ready. It's going to be great. That's one of the highlights of my role as pastor, is to be part of baptisms. But listen to this. The introduction to that service: the church is of God. The church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time. No matter what governments may rise and fall, it will be preserved until the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which the church alone supplies. We're here because there's no place else that we can go to receive what we receive in church on a Sunday morning. There's no place where we can go where we can be part of the communion of the saints gathered together in this place. And each of the churches that are gathering on a Sunday morning around us here in Winburn and around the world, they're gathering because there's no place else that they can go to be filled with that Holy Spirit in such a way that the world is transformed. You cannot be the church on your couch, in your house, all by yourself. Church is a community that is calling us to serve, calling us to worship, calling us to be receiving as well the good gifts that God has. A little later, when you grow up, you get confirmed in the church. Or maybe you receive baptism and communion and confirmation one Sunday. Some of you received that a long, long time ago. Some of you very recently. But all who come to the church say the same thing, that we'll be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service. That's not a club in two ways. It's not a club for us to beat you over with and say, you need to be in church all the time. And it's not a club that says we're like the social club to gather because this is the best time to do it. Sunday morning's a very inconvenient time to gather together to do anything, let alone this. But we gather because God's called us. And the way that we respond to that is by wanting to be here. And then by wanting to serve with our gifts. And wanting to see those gifts be used all around the world. And then being filled with the Holy Spirit, sent out into the world to do the work of the church, wherever it is that we're called. So why do we have to go to church on Sunday morning? Because, as a man named Ken Ryan, who was my lay leader at Eldersville, said, there's no better place to be on Sunday morning than in God's house. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.